So we're talking about Tallahassee's growth, Leon County, Parks and Recreation, big part of that. Lee Davis is with me to bring us up to speed. And you can't talk about the transformation without looking in the direction of the Office of Economic Vitality. Christina Paredes is with me. She heads up that whole group of fine people, and we're going to learn about development in Tallahassee. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done. And by Chelsea Salon and Spa, Tallahassee's largest Aveda lifestyle spa and salon since 1979.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Welcome again, my friend, to another edition of Tallahassee Talks, the show that is devoted to the ongoing conversation you and I are having with folks around town from the various places and organizations, activities that make this town what it is. It's what we do. It's why we do it. Because we think if we will talk among ourselves, we'll make discovery of ideas, innovations, motivations, services, and opportunities that otherwise might escape our view. Right. In short terms, we want to tell you more about the real Tallahassee. The people who make this thing work the way it does. And I've got a couple of folks who are central in that effort. Christina Paredes, she's going to be with us in the second hour. She heads up the Office of Economic Vitality. Yes, in fact, it's the Tallahassee Leon County Office of Economic Vitality. So this sort of cooperative, collaborative, interagency, interorganization effort to attract business to the community, to retain valuable contributors, businesses, and people who are the innovators, creators, attracting and retaining the creative class, part of that. But then there's this other element, the propagation of able workers. So developing Tallahassee's workforce, not just at some sort of grand scale, global, you know, wide swat at the a wide turn of effort, but a rather narrow, more specific, narrow in that is more, it is more detailed effort to try to bring people into these opportunities. So much so that they can work directly with an employer and with potential workers and say, okay, here are the skills you're going to need and here are the programs available to you. And as you're going to learn from Christina, fortunate enough that you have a number of educational opportunities courtesy of Florida State, FAMU, TCC, on it goes. So the training opportunities are there. You have this OEV organization, courtesy of county and city, to bring some sense of downbeat, I guess. It's you have to have every orchestra has to have that conductor, right? That individual or those people who say we need to keep the momentum going and we need to all be on the same sheet of music. All right. So, well, that's Christina Paredes. That is largely, I would say, a good description of her role there. But she'll be better at explaining to you firsthand with you and I what it is she does and what her fine group of staff members do, team members. So that's coming up in the second hour. I would point out for you that when it comes to the transformation of Tallahassee, and there's no question that we are seeing that, we're witnessing that in our time. In fact, a kind of repurposing of what we are, almost. I guess it's a redefinition of. Think about this. When you've heard me talk about plantation thinking, well, yeah, I mean, that we inherited from the prior century or two centuries ago. 19th century Tallahassee, you know, was a farming community. You know, predominantly cotton and peanuts and, you know, that 75% of the county, Leon County, was enslaved. We had more plantations than any other county in Florida, according to the census of 1860. Okay, so we fast forward through the last century and through decades of racial segregation, racist thinking. We find ourselves having inherited an economy as such that it was still largely agrarian. Go look at the history of Gadsden County and the tobacco industry, for example. Then comes this last 40 years, maybe 50 years or so, state government on the rise, university systems on the rise, attracting more and more of those kinds of folks who are government officials, who are academicians and administrators for FAMU, Florida State. And let's not leave TCC out of that mix because they're formidable in their contribution as well. So here we are in 2019 with this sort of reinvention of ourselves that includes how we manage the natural world, the installation of parks and trails and boat ramps and all of that sort of thing that is a companion then with ideas of economic development, because as those who have spent their time studying such questions, the community that you are has a direct impact on the kind of people that you will attract and the kinds of businesses that these people will work with and for and in over time. Simple way of putting that is, if you want to grow economically, you have to be willing to grow culturally, environmentally, socially. So we see then the rise of festivals and infrastructure, parks and such. When it comes to Leon County, there is a distinct, I would say, respect for and appreciation for this gem of the natural world we are gifted with. And talk to people who've come from outside of the area. Maybe you're one of those folks. And the waterways, the greenways, the canopy roads, Yeah. Everything from biking trails to water parks. Yeah. The rivers. Are you kidding me? So Lee Davis heads up Leon County Parks and Recreation. She's with me here in this first hour. And we're going to get a little bit more detail from her about how her department helps manage all of what the county offers. And it's sizable. It's immense. And what a charming soul she is. Speaking of that kind of person, someone charming, we've got Nancy Digdon. She's here with My Weather View in just a moment. And as we think of weather, don't forget TallahasseePrepared.com is there for you on our ongoing attempt to try to make sure that you are prepared for severe weather throughout the year. We've got some severe thunderstorms coming at us through the weekend here. Great example of that. But you can put up against that the last month of drought conditions. Right. In Tallahassee, you better be prepared for whatever comes. That's the role, the mission of TallahasseePrepared.com. Check it out. Learn something. We'll be right back.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, as we gather together on this rainy weekend, of course, it's always interesting to note Tallahassee's weather. Always in the extremes, it seems to me. Extremely pleasant or extremely unpleasant. Those are the two extremes. So we've endured this stretch of record heat. In fact, so much so that the city of Tallahassee, if you are a city utility user, has decided they're going to cut you some slack. Because they know when you open up your utility bill next month, you're going to have a stroke. And this here reads, due to sweltering temperatures, the city of Tallahassee's electric utility folks recently recorded one of its highest peak loads. This goes back all the way to 2009. That's 10 years ago. Despite above normal demands for electric power this time of year, the city's electric utility has more than adequate supply of power reserves. Wonderful. On the customer's side, you and I may not have enough reserve to handle a whopping bill that's going to come our way. So, city commissioners unanimously approved a city one-time payment option for its customers. They're calling it WRAP, W-R-A-P, Weather Relief Assistance Program. This alternative payment program will help ease the financial burden higher bills may bring for some customers. That would be me, by allowing all residential and non-demand small business utility customers to defer 25% of the utility bill to October, when usage will likely be less. Well, that's kind of sweet, I think. Right? So you can take 25% of your bill from May or June, I guess, and you can defer that. Now, it says the program applies to city utility bills issued between May 27 and September 30. All right? Now, you have to request this carryover option. You can't just assume it's going to happen. So you do that, you got to contact Tallahassee Utilities. Here's the number, 891-4968, 891-4968. If you choose to participate in the WRAP program, you can expect the carryover to be clearly identified as a separate line item on your October bill. You got to pay it then in October. Well, I like that. Give us a chance to at least manage a little bit on the old checkbook side of the world. And speaking of extreme weather, of course, I've got Nancy Dignon standing by. She's here again with another My Weather View, the ever popular, famous, she is, Nancy Dignon, celebrated meteorologist, weathercaster, educator, teaches out there at TCC, delightful soul. Nancy Dignon is with us. And in light of the hot weather, it would be appropriate to remind you that the city is also offering a hot spot cool down every Friday night this summer. Splash and Jam returns, offering local families and teens free, safe alternatives for late night fun. Splash and Jam events feature an all-ages family-style pool party, The Splash, from 7 to 9 p.m., complete with pool games, refreshments, music. And as there is not a pool at the Palmer Monroe Teen Center, there will be water activities from 7 to 9 p.m. Okay, so I'm looking for more details on that. But you gotta go to their website. Go to talgov.com to learn more about this Splash and Jam cool down event. All right, we got Nancy Dignon. She's ready. You stay with me through this segment. Nancy, tell us more about My Weather View.
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is My Weather View for this week. So the topic of conversation is it ever going to rain again in Tallahassee? People are asking, why is it so hot and why is it so dry? And honestly, the two go hand in hand. If you get really hot, it's because it's really dry. Because you guys know the pattern. Typically, we're hot, we're muggy, we get some storms right around 3 o'clock. But what has happened is we've had high pressure really close to us. And high pressure means that the air sinks and we don't get very many clouds. And of course, if you don't have clouds, you're never going to get rain. So we've got this long range pattern that has kind of set up on top of us. And as a result, high pressure, no clouds, but it's really stagnant. And so the air is just continuously heating and continuously heating. And it's not to the point where, you know, we're in the 90s. We're actually at the point where we're in the mid and upper 90s, and we've even hit 100 degrees twice. So extraordinarily hot, and something that none of us really likes, because also when it's hot, everything is just evaporating so quickly and everything is dry. So if your yard, your lawn looks like mine, it's brown. It's okay though, because as we head toward the weekend, it looks like things are going to change. So that long range pattern where we've had high pressure sitting on top of us, it's finally moving. Part of it may be what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. And as many of you know, hurricane season began June 1st. And with that, you know, conditions start to get ready. We warm the water up and we could see some development of something. We don't need any kind of a tropical system, but we do need some tropical air, something that helps to develop some of that rain that we at this point desperately need. And so it looks like as we head toward this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rain chances start to get a little elevated. And so we bring in some more heat. We bring in more of that humidity, which is the ingredient that we've been missing. And right now, it really does look like we may finally get some rain. Of course, the other side of this is we've been hoping for rain for so long. Once those skies open up, it would seem like we're going to, you know, be in that summer pattern, and that'll last for about 3 months. We actually haven't had rain in Tallahassee officially since May 15th, which is really crazy. And about the same time as the last time that we had measurable rain, and also temperatures that were below 90 degrees. So we're starting to see a change in the weather pattern, and I think that's really going to be good for us, because some of that rainfall would be desperately welcomed at this point. But again, patience. I know it's supposed to be a virtue, and I have had none, and I'm guessing you as well, but rain is coming. This has been My Weather View for this week, and I'm Nancy Dignon.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you're a resident of Tallahassee, Leon County area, there's no way that you cannot appreciate or certainly know about the magnitude of the natural resources, rivers, trees, lakes, parks, ponds, boat landings. But if you're somebody who enjoys the rivers of North Florida or the beaches, or if you like to hang out in one of the many parks that Leon County maintains for you, oh man, you're living the dream. You're in the right place. Let me give you a few pointers here. Leon County Parks and Recreation maintains, count them, 25 boat landings. Mm-hmm. 3 campgrounds, 6 community centers, active and passive parks in the unincorporated area. There's 19 of those guys. Then there's the Appalachie Regional Park, in and of itself, remarkable. Oh yeah, and then 2,500 acres of greenways. Shall I go on? No, because I have with me the one person who can explain all of this to us in greater detail and give us the backstory, the inside look at what it means to administer this multi-million dollar operation. I think that's fair to say. And her name is Lee Davis. She's our guest this morning, so let's welcome her. How are you, Miss Davis?
I'm great. Thank you for having me with you, Brian.
It's on this lovely rainy weekend.
That's right.
When finally, you know, all the little creatures out there, not to mention all these lovely trees and such that we so fond of, can take a breath. And we'll enjoy it. When you think of, and I mean this as an individual personally, when you think of everything that the county brings to us in the way of parks and recreation, is there one word that comes to mind? What's the first word that pops in your head?
You know, awesome. I think you said it well when you opened about, you know, kind of just what the gifts we have here in terms of nature and kind of being this secret, the other Florida, you know, and it's just an awesome, the natural resources that we have available.
You know, Carrie Post and I have talked often about the fact that Tallahassee brings to the world this level of connection with the natural world that is remarkable in a lot of ways, not just because it is so abundant, but because Tallahassee, Leon County particularly, in your role, has gone the extra mile. You've gone a lot of miles to make it accessible and yet maintain its integrity, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, kind of when I think about Parks and Rec, I think about activities for the body, but food for the soul. So you've got kind of that combination going on.
Carl, write that down. I want to put that on my T-shirt. Right? Yeah. How does that go? Say it again.
So activities for the body and food for the soul.
Activities for the body, food for the soul. Okay. Put that on a coffee mug. That'd be great.
That's
and then
right.
And just put the county seal next to
there
it.
There you go. There you go.
I think Visit Tallahassee would love that idea. Anyway. And so here we go. We look at this intersection of our community and its urban characteristics, all of the neighborhoods. And there are those who have at times been alarmed at or maybe stay concerned about the advancement of development, right? So I had Matthew Latch with us last week talking TLH development, and he's kind of a watchdog kind of guy,
right,
reporting
right.
on such things. But it's also a fact that when it comes to, we'll say, the urban canopy, we haven't lost ground there. That urban canopy is actually larger now than it was some years ago.
Right.
So I think, and that's in the face of a lot of development, right? Does that concern you? Do you get in conversations with growth management sorts of folks, and is that part of your realm, or do you kind of say, hey, you know, that's not my deal. You guys build it. I'll keep it keep it in shape for you.
I'm a little bit of both. So I think just in terms of conservation, I think obviously this community is doing a tremendous job at that. Mm-hmm. And when I think of even these conservation pockets being kind of what, you know, city residents might consider urban core, of course, we've got Offord Greenway,
right?
At the end, you've got two schools on there and multiple neighborhoods. And then, you know, I remember my first experience with Offord Greenway. Two parks directors before me took me out, and I'm thinking, where are we? These are neighborhoods. Well, how can we be going to a Greenway?
In somebody's backyard.
You get to the end of Pedrick Road, and it's like it Ta-da. Just opens up, right? So we've done that well at Offord. We've replicated that at Fred George Greenway, which is right at the corner of Fred George and Capitol Circle. Mm-hmm. And that's a greenway and a park, so there's some active fields there, but you can also hike there.
Yeah.
But, you know, interestingly enough, you bring up this growth management perspective. You know, when we build a park, we're not immune to having to go through permitting, and I think a lot of people think, well, you just get a pass for that. But no, when we're constructing ball fields or we're constructing any kind of park activities, we too have to keep in mind the canopy. We too have to keep in mind and meet the guidelines associated with those regulations as it relates to stormwater, as it relates to runoff. So we're continuing to not only provide those facilities, but protect our overall, environment around us as well.
Well, and the budgetary concerns have to be a part of that, I'm sure. Are there projects on the blueprint level that might otherwise, I don't know if they'd be fair to say shovel ready, but they're certainly part of the future, but you're waiting on funding to make that happen.
Right. And I will say, you know, this... I've been parks director for 7 years now, and the boards of county commissioners that we've had over those 7 years have really been committed to that parks and recreation goal. So even my colleagues around the state, I think, are lamenting about limited budgets. And certainly we have that here, too. I just feel like our boards in particular have been very open to hearing what those projects are, hearing what the community needs and wants are in terms of these recreational abilities, and trying to find that as best they can.
Commissioner Deloge is probably the poster boy for
that's
parks
right.
and recreation.
He and Commissioner Dozier and
exactly.
You know, multiples of them.
Oh
yes.
Man, I mean, they champion your cause, but they do so on behalf of us all, I think.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely.
And so even for those of us who may not consider ourselves, I don't know, naturalists, you know, but man, if you get out to that Appalachie Regional Park and you start walking those trails, and I mean, isn't that one trail go all the way around Lake Lafayette?
It does. It drops down by Lake Lafayette. And that's an exciting trail for us because, you know, that's also a nationally renowned cross-country course. And so we partner with the Tourist Development Council and bring in, large cross-country events. In fact, we've got the NCAA national championships coming to us in 2021. So that's exciting. But and then the rest of the time of the year, it's here for all of us to be enjoying and get out.
And it's noteworthy that that would not have been available to you, to us, had that infrastructure, that trail, and all that park facility had not been created. There would be no grounds for you to be able to extend that invitation.
Absolutely. That's true.
Talking with Lee Davis, among her many activities, she runs this thing called the Leon County Parks and Recreation, which is, by all counts, about an 18-hour-a-day job. So she lives three lifetimes just doing this. She's been doing it for 8 years. Remarkable individual. Her career in public service spans 25 years, and we're going to learn a little bit more about this young lady and all that she's doing to try to make our lives a little bit better. You stay with me. You're in touch with Tallahassee Talks.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Lee Davis. She is the director of Leon County Parks and Recreation and has been serving in that capacity for 8 years. Prior, she's served in the Florida House of Representatives, the Florida Association of Counties, 15 years with Leon County. With the county, she served as assistant to the Public Works Director, an assistant to the County Administrator, interim Fleet Director. What do you love most about this job?
You know, I love the diversity. I was kind of thinking about that. So, you know, earlier this week, first part of this week, I spent basically in the forest with some of our colleagues from the state forestry, and we were talking about how we could connect a state forest trail to up to some county property. And then, you know, all the way to community meetings and meeting with neighborhood homeowners associations to talk to them about some of their needs or concerns or, you know, exciting projects in their neighborhood. So it's, for me, in the role that I serve, it's this wide variety. No day is ever the same for me. So,
and for you then, you find yourself sort of, I guess, changing hats, right? Because I know there's this level of public-private cooperation that goes on, but you look for those partnerships with private enterprise. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I think in particular what we look for, too, is those partnerships with community organizations, maybe not even such, you know, when you think about private business or
that sort of thing.
But community organizations such as Tallahassee Mountain Bike Association and Southern Trail Riders and Golf Winds, you know, track
club. Not necessarily a for-profit company.
Correct.
But an outside organization.
Then. Right. And those types of organizations for us have just been tremendous help in maintaining the parks.
Neat.
And also providing us insight for, you know, what that need is and how we best develop it. You know, I'd love to say I'm well-versed in all the sports, and I'm a biker, and I'm a rider, but I can't do that with really experts who are enjoying that recreation.
And there you go with that level of community engagement that you're talking about sort of down here at ground level.
Absolutely.
What do you love least about the job?
Least about
the
job.
What is it that you wish you didn't have to deal with all the time?
Hurricanes would be
natural disasters.
Natural disasters.
Probably right there with you on that one.
The natural disasters.
I mean, there are just aspects about the job that every job has its tedium, right?
Right.
Or it's really, does it have to be like that? Kind of, in other words, the administrative skills that you bring themselves are your forte. That's why you're in this position, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, and that has proven to work, like I said, very well.
You facilitate.
Exactly. Yeah. And in some of my background, I've had the opportunity to work with numerous county commissioners across the state. Mm-hmm. And so I was very familiar with working within that structure. Mm-hmm. And then have, again, the amazing team of talent that we have that know, you know, what blade of grass this, or, you know, what type of grass is this, and what invasive plant is that, and how should we control it? And then, you know, I come in and we find the resources to do that, either with, you know, state help or funding or grants or whatever. So, it's been this nice balance.
It's grass, okay? It's grass.
That's
it's
right.
Green. It grows. Move on. You started out many years ago, at least 25 years ago, you graduated from Auburn University. Yes, you got your undergraduate degree in Auburn. In what field? In what area?
Business and marketing.
Yeah. And then you got a master's degree in public administration, Florida State.
Right.
The master's degree came shortly after graduating from Auburn, or was that many years later?
It was several years later. Several years later.
So somewhere in your journey, you came to this realization that, hey, this is a career path for me. How did that happen?
So the public sector, I think, for me, is just a calling. And for me, in this role in particular, it's a true privilege to be kind of the steward of these magnificent facilities that we have. But I guess maybe it comes from family background. Like, I grew up kind of in the public sector arena.
Really? Your parents?
My mom was worked for a congressman. And so I kind of saw the federal level at a very early age. And then
Florida?
Yes, in Florida.
Wow.
And then
who was that?
Congressman Earl Hutto.
Oh, yeah.
In District 1, I think it was.
Wow.
And so then had the opportunity when I moved to Tallahassee to work for state government for a brief period of time. And then when I transitioned to Florida Association of Counties, at that point, just really fell in love with local government. And, you know, our staff here and the elected officials here and our administrators here, you know, it's boots on the ground.
Right.
And it's so close to the constituencies, you know, it's not you're removed in D.C. or you're in Tallahassee, but you're really from Miami. And so, you know, I just feel like we're kind of doing the people's work, if you will.
Yeah.
So that's my story
a noble calling,
in terms of,
I would say, and well fitted for the task.
Thank you.
My humble observation.
Thank you.
I don't meet too many people in public administration who smile as much as you do, and laugh as easily as you do. So this might be a good sign that you really are in your niche.
In the element.
Your niche.
Maybe in the element.
What's up ahead, I guess?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. We've got some exciting things going on. You mentioned Appalachian Regional Park, and we do have a master plan that's been created out there and looking in. Creating some infrastructure out there for our cross-country events, but also building more trails out there. That master plan calls for some additional disc golf courses, some additional primitive camping opportunities. So that project's very exciting. We've got some just renovation projects going on with like a reconstruction of our basketball court at Chairs Park. We completed the one down at Woodville, a reconstruction there not long ago.
Nice work.
And thank you. One of our superintendents was out there and met a user who said, you know, I drive 20 minutes every day to come to this basketball court
since
you guys refurbished it.
It is nice.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just continuing then, we've got St. Mark's Greenway that will have a second trailhead opening up probably within the next 18 months.
Oh, neat.
So we've got a lot of exciting things going on.
Will that trailhead be bike friendly or more pedestrian?
Both. So the first trailhead that we opened is a smaller trailhead that's more focused on equestrian use.
Right.
And when we open the second trailhead, it will be bike and hiking.
Yeah, as in bicycles.
As in bicycle,
yeah, right.
Yes.
Not motorized vehicles.
Correct, correct.
Okay. Well, I'm inspired. And talk about the repurposing of an area where you have solid waste management that is now sporting this magnificent park,
right?
At least a good portion of that acreage out there. Was that your idea as well? You want to take credit for that?
I think Board of County Commissioners should take credit for that.
Okay. They do deserve some credit.
You know, that is a challenge in that there were lots of ideas that came to the table. And, you know, I think citizens in general look at that as, well, you've got all this acreage, but it makes a challenge putting infrastructure on top of closed landfill cells.
Well, that's what a delight. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
This has been great. Lee Davis, she is the head lady in charge for Leon County Parks and Recreation, faithfully at that task for the last 8 years, and our guest this morning. Thanks, Lee.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour here. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. If you've recently joined us, welcome. Glad to have you with us. I should inform you, for those old timers, you'll appreciate this as well. We air on 93.3 FM in Tallahassee, Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock. You may be one of those folks listening to 93.3. Glad to have you with me. And at the same time, we simulcast on Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, featuring all local musicians playing their original songs. We call it the Sound of Tallahassee. Right. So you get to hear everybody from, I don't know, Longinus Parsons to the New 76ers, Bell and the Band, Sarah Mack, they're all there. 24/7 it is. Honest to goodness radio station bringing you all of this fine music from some of the best musicians on the planet that happen to be right here in our beloved town of Tally. You know, I mean, I'm kind of like that. I like celebrating who we are, and that's a big part of it for me. So we are there at 9 o'clock simulcast with 93.3, and then we're on Sunday now. We used to be on Saturday nights at 9:30. We're on Sunday at 3 p.m. on Moose, and again on Wednesday at 5:30. So plenty of opportunities from Saturday through Wednesday to pick up on the show, listen at your convenience, either on Moose, or you can simply go to the website. If you go to TallahasseeTalks.com, you can listen to the show in its entirety, archived there for you. So that's sort of the on-demand aspect of that. It's always available to you at any time, because that is a permanent link. So you can go to the website on your phone, do that, and enjoy the broadcast for all of its lovely features, including the ever-popular Nancy Dignon, My Weather View. Tim Linnefelt will be with us here in the few weeks ahead. He has been on the road with them there, Florida State Seminoles, baseball, men's baseball. Wow. Talk about a Phoenix experience, right? Coming up from the ashes, they're playing this weekend over there in playing LSU. Go Noles. They play this, I think, this afternoon. Is it 3 o'clock? Something like that. Remarkable. And, of course, this is number 11's last year with us as head coach for Florida State men's baseball. What an illustrious career. I won't waste your time telling you stuff you already know, but, man, you got to dig in and find out about Mike Martin if you don't already know. Not only a great coach, winning a NCAA baseball coach, but a remarkable soul. He's a good man and makes us all proud. You know, my mom used to, you done me proud. You know, okay, well, Mike, you done us all proud. And those fine young men that have worked very hard this year to be where they are on this weekend, regardless of the outcome, they have a lot to be proud of and grateful for. We're right there with you. So speaking of other events in that regard, I want to make sure that you know about this special documentary screening. It's entitled From Swastika to Jim Crow. It's a remarkable film, courtesy of the Holocaust Education Resource Council, otherwise known as HERC, and with the support of FSU College of Motion Picture Arts Torchlight Program. Proud to announce the 2019 Holocaust Education Conference. And then this showing of this remarkable film based on the book by the same title by Gabriel Simon Edgecombe. And it's showing at the CMX Theater. Yeah, so you can go to the CMX Theater website and purchase tickets. I believe that happens this coming Tuesday. So you can, and the tickets, I think, are $10. Essentially this, the whole documentary deals with this rather peculiar crossroads that features this little-known story, two very different cultures that came together during World War II, sharing a common burden, and that burden being oppression. Jewish intellectuals who were able to escape Nazi Germany immigrated to the United States and then were confronted on their arrival with pretty harsh anti-Semitism and public distrust. So they found themselves faced with the same sorts of bigotry. They sought refuge in an unlikely place, that being the traditionally all-black colleges of the segregated South, like our own Florida A&M, where they secured teaching positions. These scholars came to form lasting relationships with their students and made significant contributions to the communities that took them in and in which they were served. That is the abstract of this special film, From Swastika to Jim Crow. You don't want to miss that. If you can possibly help it, you want to check it out online. See, you can go to imdb.com and look for Swastika to Jim Crow. That's a good topic to search for. Or you can go to the HERC website. Let's see if I've got that for you. Yeah, you can find them at holocaustresources.org. That's the Holocaust Education Resource Council. Holocaustresources.org. So there you go. Speaking of other means by which we want to try to bring goodness to your life, I want to remind you to check out TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. If you want to do something for yourself, you want to encourage your children, other family members to do something good for one another, Tallahassee Food Challenge is there to help you. So when you go to the website, you're going to learn about the various food charities in our community that support the need for food among hungry children and families across the community, but especially in those neighborhoods that experience food deserts, where they're cut off from food, and food that is good for you, okay? So there may be a convenience store nearby with chips and soda and such, but in terms of a grocery store, markets that are going to supply these families with the food that we all need, and that's a food desert. Or they just don't have access because they don't have transportation. So that food scarcity continues to plague Leon County. And we're going to talk a little bit about this as a topic when I have Christina Paredes here shortly. She's coming to talk with us about economic development across the region, particularly Leon County, City of Tallahassee. She heads up the Office of Economic Vitality for Tallahassee, Leon County. It's a topic of great concern for a lot of people, and it should remain that way. We're doing our part in trying to keep you informed. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. You can even go there to learn how you can either make a donation of food or clothing, or you can make a cash contribution, a monetary donation, just by going to that website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Christina Paredes brings more than 13 years of local government experience, with the past 5 years focused on growing the economy in Florida's capital community. That would be our own beloved Tallahassee. As her role directing the Tallahassee-Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, she leads the implementation of the community's first ever long-range economic development strategic plan. She's going to explain all of this to us in the time we have remaining and answer all of our questions. Let's welcome Christina Paredes. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah. So you got all that? You're just going to tell us how this all works?
Yes, I'm happy to show you why we are growing our economy. You know, we have a, like you mentioned and said, that we have our first ever long-term strategic plan for economic development.
Yes.
We've got a solid team behind us working very closely, and most importantly, key partners throughout our community that help make those results possible.
Who are those key partners or examples of?
Oh, we work very closely with all three of our chambers of commerce here in town. So the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, the Capital City Chamber of Commerce, and the Big Bend Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. Our higher education institutes, FSU, FAMU, and TCC, and all of our workforce development partners. Mm-hmm. Those are some key drivers in when you work with a business on, you know, they're going to need a location, they're going to need to educate their workforce, they're going to need to find a workforce, and they're going to need to know the right businesses to connect with within a community. And together, working very closely with all those entities is what makes expansion for local businesses and recruitment of businesses into our community possible.
So you're really ground level in that sense, that you're right down there in the trenches helping to facilitate the communication among these partners in crime, so to speak. You're working to try to knit all this together so we're all kind of on the same page. Is that fair?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. Yeah, we can continue to do that with each project. You know, each project or each businesses that's looking to seek to expand needs a little something special.
So that means you have to stay, I guess, in touch with and be accountable to not only these various organizations, but somebody like me who says, I need a job.
Yes.
Or I need training. So then you're going to help it, even in that capacity, to kind of get me pointed in the right direction?
Absolutely. Oh, okay. You know, you will be meeting with a local business owner, and they'll, well, in our discussion, talking with them, and they come across, they have a workforce challenge. They need help training employees.
Right.
And so we'll connect them in to Lively Technical College or Tallahassee Community College so that they can work together to help educate their workforce. Growing our economy is a team and community sport. So if our office were to stay internal and not engage the greater community, we can't be nearly as successful as we all can be working together. And that's really important to growing our economy together.
Right. The workers, the consumers, they're living all around us.
Absolutely.
They're not just in a few zip codes.
Yeah. Large portion of our workforce coming in from Ocala and Gadsden County and even Jefferson, which covers our whole MSA.
And with them comes all of the cultural references, right?
That integration of ideas and culture is very important when you talk about our cultural identity. One place is a project that we helped a company with the Proof expansion in down to their new South Monroe location.
Right.
And when you go there, you see a wide range of people and individuals, people from that South Side community, people from the North Side, people coming in after work. It's really a true spot of integration of the community there.
And in that way, for you, that's a great representation of this new way of thinking.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do with how strategic we've been with our infrastructure growth on the public sector side.
Right.
Under the leadership of the county and the city, you know, we've built that Cascades Park, built a bridge over to the south, to that South Monroe area, and the FAMU Way extension that's going on there is a way to unite and bring together Florida State and FAMU campuses.
Yeah.
And really build that in together.
You're like me, I think, in that regard. You like symbols, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not just a symbol. It really is representative of a deeper truth, maybe, or intent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can see the growth from those couple of, we have, over the next 5 to 7 years, a series of projects from a public infrastructure side being planned and developed in and around that Southside area to help encourage and catalyze redevelopment, job creation. And so we're really, really looking forward to be a part of that to help activate some projects.
When you talk to cultural anthropologists, and that's one of my quirky things that I like, you know, one of the notions is that you can tell a people by the temples they build. You know, what do they worship? And one thesis was that in the modern American world, banks were the largest edifices. You know, you go to the metropolitan areas, go to the big cities of America, and you find these bank buildings. Those are our temples. Interesting idea. Look around Tallahassee and look at those things that have been created, and you just ticked off a few of them. Look at the events that have come about. Lemoyne's Art Festival, now ranked number one, at least in the top five annually. Word of South, right?
Right.
Yeah. When I got here in 78, the only festival in town was Springtime.
Really?
Yeah. And it celebrates our past. So where are we going? What's the future look like?
What's the future look like?
Right. Oh. So we're not all Andrew Jackson. In fact, we're not all of the same color as Andrew Jackson.
Well, I think a lot of those festivals that you see in the springtime now, especially in a Word of South, celebrating arts and literature together and how it all blends in really nicely.
How it comes together.
That's a great festival.
And for us to be the host of itself, to me, is another symbol. It's another statement. It's a structure. When you are having those conversations with local business owners, is that part of the conversation? Do you? And you mentioned Proof. I mean, how does that conversation start, I guess? Where do you get hold of what this business person wants to get done and then help them see that path?
Well, it's just like any other relationship that you develop. Mm. You sit down with them.
So it's personal.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Listening to what they do, going out to their business, staying in touch with them and following up with them and building that and building that relationship and following through on those connections that you that you work with on that piece.
We're talking with Christina Paredes. Did I say that right?
Paredes? You did, absolutely, yes.
I'm working on it. Okay. She is amazing, and we're going to continue talking with this amazing person who heads up the Economic Development Council. Is that right?
Economic? The Office of Economic Vitality.
The Office of Economic Vitality. It's in my notes here somewhere. Stay with me. In 1945, Jack Whiddon started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whiddon Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whiddon because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whiddon Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whiddon wanted, and it's been the Whiddon way of doing business for over 70 years. Whiddon Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whiddon Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Christina Paredes, Office of Economic Vitality, responsible for this intersection, integration of effort. It sounds like I count maybe four or five different quadrants. Can you have a fifth quadrant? Does that make sense? All of these different parts and pieces, the employers, the workforce, the educators, public officials, everybody at that table.
Yeah.
And that's a daily thing for you.
Absolutely.
How does your day go? What does it look like when you're getting up and getting out? And, you know, is it the same job every day?
No, every day is different, but it all ends with the same goal, to drive economic vitality and growth and to really celebrate this diverse and vibrant economy that we have and work towards growing that.
Yeah.
You know, over the last 5 years, our community has really growing our private sector job growth. We've added about 15,000 private sector job growth to our economy over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And right now we're seeing that number still growing. On the private sector side, we're at our lowest unemployment rate in April since December 2006.
In your mind, what accounts for that? Is that by design? Is it by default? How does that work?
Well,
the growth.
The growth, you know, Tallahassee always is positioned differently when it comes to economic hardships. We'll be the last one to get affected by the recession and the last one to climb out.
Yeah.
And here we are over the last couple of years, over the last 5 years, you can tell by that private sector job growth really increasing our capacity.
So some of that is recovery, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, some of that is. But then some of that is, if you just look out the window here, you're seeing cranes up downtown.
Yeah.
You're
seeing
the growth of our hospitality and leisure economy, the growth of our healthcare industry. That's a huge driver right now.
Well, and I know a big part of your responsibility as an organization is the idea of attracting business to the community. And we talked during the break about how it is that Tallahassee's culture,
right,
our natural environment, all of the offerings that we bring as a community are part of that. Right?
Absolutely. So one of our globally competitive assets that we have here is the research and the technology that comes out of our university system. So both Florida State and FAMU. You're looking at the College of Engineering and their Center of Excellence and the Mag Lab. And that's concentrated in that Innovation Park area for the mm-hmm. most part, the majority of it. And we're really focused on working with our private and public sector partners to mm-hmm. build a recruitment strategy to encourage businesses to come into our community and establish a location. And those are focused within our applied sciences and manufacturing effort. Mm. You look at a company like Danfoss, who came to Tallahassee just over 10 years ago. In the last 5 years, they've chosen to expand twice. Mm. And their jobs, that's an example of something we're looking to replicate, mm-hmm. Utilizing the Magnetic Task Force and our Magnetic Capital of the World campaign. Mm. And the jobs that those businesses would create are ones that are within research and engineering, as far as middle-skilled jobs, so mm-hmm. you're a machinist at that point. Mm-hmm. So it really kind of runs the gamut there of what our goal is to help employ and continue to grow and create jobs in that area.
Yeah. When you, as you do, no doubt, forecast the next 5 years, where do you see some of that growth being concentrated? My understanding is that in the medical field, we're going to see, particularly areas of nursing, you're going to see a lot of growth in those jobs.
Yes. Right? You know, both hospitals are expanding their emergency room applications. TMH just finished that huge expansion on campus.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to see an increase in demand for healthcare. Manufacturing just showed up on our list of fastest growing industries.
Really?
As well in the top five.
Wow.
That's being driven by companies such as the Danfoss expansion, DG Technologies, and even young startups like our Divvy Up Socks. And if you haven't heard their story, they're a remarkable story coming out of FSU. Started off with Buy a Pair, Give a Pair sock campaign.
I remember that.
And now they're printing their own socks here in Tallahassee and growing rapidly.
Very
so they're
cool.
A really good story. And that's all within the manufacturing sector, too.
Yeah.
And so we're also seeing a growth. That's another area that we're seeing a lot of growth
of course.
There. And professional and business services, too. That's
if you think in terms of the magnets, right, not to belabor the poor pun there with the Maglab, but if we think in terms of these educational hubs, there's the business of attracting those that have been described as the creative class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that that is entirely applicable in 2019. I think that may be too narrow in our thinking. I think there's a lot of people being attracted to the community who may not fit that definition really well.
Well, we work a lot very closely with expanding and recruitment for business opportunities.
Right.
But then we also have a division that's focused specifically on what you're bringing up here, minority and women-owned businesses.
Yeah.
We have a whole division that works very closely with them to educate, empower, and grow minority and women businesses.
Yeah.
And huge partners for that effort and all of our efforts, of course, are the Jim Moran Institute and FAMU Small Business Development Center.
SBA.
We work very closely with them as well.
You know, it's interesting. Then go back 5-6 years ago, like a lot of small college towns, especially, everybody bemoaning the fact that people come here, they go to school, and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that retention part that I suppose has become part of your mission statement, huh?
We're tracking the retention of students within FAMU and FSU.
Mm.
So within the first year of them getting their degree, whether it's their bachelor's or their master's or PhD, what percentage are getting a full-time job here in Tallahassee?
Mm-hmm.
And right now that's averaging out between 12 to 13% a year.
Hmm.
And that pretty much...
Does that show change over time then? Is that a bigger number or smaller number than
we're seeing the number progress upwards.
Yeah.
I think we're running the next set of numbers for the previous year, this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's one of our goals to see if that tracks upwards as we're focusing on developing amenities that are go 8 to 80s through our infrastructure projects and increasing business opportunities and job opportunities for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of students just don't know that that the opportunities exist in Tallahassee. Mm. So you have really great grassroots efforts that have started to help build
open
that.
Open their eyes.
Yeah, there is the Tally Job Hop that started off by a local citizen, Lester Hutt, and the Tallahassee Chamber now leads that effort. And then also the Professor Hop as well, because the professors need to know about the opportunities that exist.
Right.
And because that's all important to be able to help encourage students to look at Tallahassee as an option.
Yeah. Tell me more about your office as such, the folks that really make all this work and how you work together as an organization.
I have a business development manager who is focused on applied sciences and advanced manufacturing.
Okay.
A business vitality manager who is focused on IT and GovTech and workforce development.
Okay.
And then I have a business intelligence individual who is focused on pulling data. So all that data you see on our website is mined.
Crunching numbers.
Yeah, mined in-house and pushed up to you.
Okay.
So we can help local businesses make informed decisions and as well as businesses who are looking into Tallahassee decisions. And then, of course, our minority and women team, business development team.
So in each one of these subsets within the organization, you have people who then spend their day focused on what in that realm. They're If I'm looking at businesses outside of Tallahassee, am I corresponding? Am I attending meetings? And what do I do?
Yes, you are. So if you're a magnetics company, magnetic technology related, you'll be working with our business development manager, and we'll be talking about what sites are available for you to expand into.
So it's very pragmatic kind of stuff.
Yeah, very tailored specifically to you and what your needs are. And then should you want to come visit our community, we'll also build a visit and interactions focused specifically for you and what you'd like to
do. Stay with me, folks. Let me see if I can get through this last segment. We have with us the very lovely Christina Paredes, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Christina Paredes is the person who, did I do it right?
Paredes. Yes, you did.
Man, I'm 3 for 3.
Oh, yeah.
And the Office of Economic Vitality, that she works very hard every day to try to help us all better navigate through this stuff of creating job opportunity, attracting new business.
Yeah, we want people to rethink Tallahassee. You know, we are working very hard to build Florida's capital for business, and you know, we are the magnetic capital of the world from that piece. There's a lot of really great, innovative, and entrepreneurial folks here and mindset here. We have a huge software industry here that is centered in and around GovTech technology. So they were working at the state. They found a solution, a software solution, and as a result, spun off their own company of innovation and are doing business across the United States now. You have developments coming out of FSU and FAMU too that are along the same line that could change the way we see things in the future. And sometimes you just got to look just below the surface to see all the offerings that Tallahassee comes, both culturally and innovatively.
Yeah. And that's not easy to do. One of those parts of our backstage conversation has to do with how do you make people care?
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be tough, right?
Oh, yes. You know, we have, you look at somebody like a Dominic Artis, who founded ACT House. He has a project and an initiative where he's putting entrepreneurs into in a house for 2 semesters to come up with a product and develop something, really encouraging the growth of their entrepreneurial spirit.
Cool.
You look at the Jim Moran School of Entrepreneurship and Domi Station and the businesses that have come out of there, Vail, Catalina, H-Wind, which was purchased by RMS as an insurance company. I mean, just some remarkable stories that are coming out of Tallahassee.
And it's interesting to me, and it's been observed, you know, we don't have a strong tax base here, do we? I mean, it's tough for the municipalities. So when it's Leon County or City of, right, we don't have a business tax.
Mm-hmm. Which is something we're very proud of.
We don't have an income tax. Yeah. Right. And so, if I'm not mistaken, you're depending on that public trust to pay for all this stuff. So we're asking you to thread that needle. And you don't have a whole lot of thread, it seems to me. Or you have what you have, and you got to make it work.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's part of your economic challenge organizationally.
And that's why economic development and growing our economy as a whole is a team sport.
Mm-hmm.
We have no one organization can do it in a silo. Mm. We need to rely on our partners both through our community partners and our business leaders to help tell Tallahassee's story, to help project our vibrant and diverse economy. Just recently, we were ranked in the top 10 great places for career opportunities by Smart Assets in 2019. I think we came in at number 8, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a wonderful story to tell people who are looking for new opportunities.
Yeah, especially when that runs up against the long-standing notion that Tallahassee is the best place to raise a family.
Yes.
Well, isn't it nice to also be on the list of a great place to get a job?
Absolutely.
While you're trying to feed that family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and our livability.com every year does 100 best places to live, and you've seen Tallahassee climb up that list over the past 2 years. We're now ranked number 54, and hopefully next year we'll crack the top 50 best places to live in the country.
I think we were talking about this in the prior segment when we thinking forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope? What do you hope will happen for not just the business community? What are some of your, I guess, personal aspirations? What's the Tallahassee that you imagine?
The Tallahassee that I imagine. The Tallahassee that I hope to see within the next 10 years has taken advantage of being the magnetic capital of the world, establishing a business cluster in and around that, completing that airport gateway that'll help drive in business and fuel that into Innovation Park. And one that we can all work together to address some of the challenges is that we do as a community right now. Those are really all important to our overall way of life and quality of life. I hope that we continue to all row in the same direction and truly work together to build the Tallahassee of the future.
When you think of other communities, and there have been these jaunts, you know, where they'll go to, you know, Boulder, Colorado, or Austin, and recently in South Carolina. I guess Greenville, was that right?
Yes.
You're part of all that sort of thing? You
I did. I went to Greenville with the chamber this past April.
Yeah.
When we were working very closely with some consultants we had in town a couple of years ago, they were charged with looking at the industries of the future for our community. What do we need to target in and grow in?
Mm-hmm.
And one of their observations is you have a lot here within this community. You have your state government, which fuels a lot of your downtown. You have these assets at Innovation Park that are really entrepreneurial and moving us into a 2030 economy, dealing with nanotechnology, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Strong entrepreneurial spirit woven throughout the community, and a growing healthcare sector, since we are the urban community of a bunch of rural.
Indeed.
And we had a lot of conversation about them on what are our targets moving forward.
Mm.
And with that, you know, we came in on obviously healthcare, business and IT, applied sciences, which is magnetic and material sciences in there, and then advanced manufacturing. And the thread that exists through all that is the innovational spirit of the people and entrepreneurial spirit of the people of Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
That's truly what's going to help build Florida's capital for business and establish us as the magnetic capital of the world.
Seemed to me that was sort of symbolic to me. It was that representative aspect or the representation of a kind of willingness to innovate, make it up as you go along.
Yes, I mean that's key. You know, if something's not working in this area, then we need to
go do something else.
Let's just try it a little bit differently, tweak it a little bit, but continue to focus on job creation, catalyzing redevelopment, and
move
really
the needle
and moving that needle forward.
Yeah, Christina Paredes, she is the director for the Office of Economic Vitality in Tallahassee, Florida. I'm glad to have her as our guest this morning.
Thank you. What a charming
individual.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Indeed.
Yeah, and for
folks,
having me on.
This is why we do it, because we get to talk to people like Christina and her grasp of what this organization means for you and I. So you make sure you check it out even further online. What's a good website address for Office of?
OEVforBusiness.org. So that's OEVforBusiness.org.
Perfect. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Folks, that's what I've got for you this week. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the Moose Magnificat Studios in Tallahassee, Florida. Moose Magnificat Radio, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee with local artists playing their original songs. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. We'll be back here again next week. So I'll be looking for you. Come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.